This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Boy, we're going to have that intro changed.
Why?
Wintergreen Nursery and Land... Well, you still do...
Well, I worked there part-time to help the new owner.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
It's still accurate.
Yeah, it kind of is. I'll change it.
Kind of like this show is
to Frank Frankenstein.
There you go,
Frank Frankenstein Gardening Show.
No, actually, this show is accurate.
Okay, if you say so. I don't know. I don't even care.
Jeez, what do you got on the agenda?
I don't know. I'll just talk.
No. Okay.
Now, welcome to the show, and this is. Hopefully, a helpful show to you gardening fanatics out there that are paying attention to spring, because I've seen several more blooming trees out there, so it's coming.
Sun must help.
The sun helps a bit, yes, and the snow stopping also helps.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for listening, and if you have any questions about your lawn, your garden, or what to plant, when to plant, how to plant, what kind of soil, should I water it, fertilize it, whatever, prune it, etc., you can call 673-4464 and get your question on the air, and we can have a conversation, and I'll give you some primo information.
And there's no tree phone. They'll get it right here to us.
That's right. Straight here. We don't have operators standing by to take your call.
We are the operators.
Yeah. Well, he is. I just talk. Okay. But anyway, today, perennials. Perennials are flowers that and shrubs, but basically in the flower category that bloom and what?
Two calls right in.
How did I get two calls all of a sudden?
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon. I have a question about the grubs from the giant mosquitoes that fly around in your yard. Is this a good time to treat it?
Well, they're probably not active right now, but you could try and see if you had any results. Usually... as it gets a little bit warmer and they start to hatch out and become more active, it's a better time to treat it. But there may be a pre-emergent solution to it, and I would suggest that you go to the co-op, farmers co-op, and see what they have down there. And there's many, many products. And just read the labels and see what would fit your bill. Because if it's a pre-emergent, when you catch them in the dormant stage, that's what you want to get. Or it might say wait till they're flying around or wait till they're hatching out or whatever they do. And then that's when you make the treatment. But right off the top, there are so many products on the market that I can't name one that's a surefire killer. And it is... Even though it's March, mid-March, yeah. It's still pretty cold, and there's not too much activity happening right now.
Well, I have used I think it was the 7 in the past.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be effective, but it was not this early.
Yeah, and 7 is a good one, but it's expensive, and if you used it this early and there was no results, you threw out, $20 or $30 or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I would wait a little bit. We need a couple of more days where it gets above, 55 or maybe even to 60, and the sun is shining, and then they start to hatch and come out and are more active.
I think I'll wait. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you. Well, our other call went away, but, there it is. They are back. There you are. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Oh, boy.
Good afternoon. Mike, this is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
I severely trimmed back my cherry tree because it was like 40 foot tall.
Is that all?
And it was just a little one. So I don't have any buds coming out on it yet, so I don't expect any too much this year. But next year, when should I start spraying to kill the fruit flies?
Well, probably as soon as it starts to get warm enough to the, they're evident that there are fruit flies around. But there are pre-emergence that you can do use. Now, what kind of cherry is this?
It looked like it was a Royal Anne.
Royal Anne, huh? And it was 40 feet tall?
Oh, it was huge.
And how far down did you go, Rick?
I'm about 15, 17 feet right now.
Yeah, well, you ought to keep it that way. Don't let it get to be 40 because it becomes an unyieldly tree.
That's exactly why I cut it back. And the fruit was real small because of it, too.
Exactly, because there's so many branches up there that the root system is working on keeping the branches alive rather than setting fruit. So you keep it small, keep it trimmed and airy and thinned out, and you'll have much more success.
Well, it definitely looks a lot smaller now than it did.
I'll bet.
Two loads to the dump with my 4x8 trailer.
Well, why didn't you just have a bonfire in the backyard, man?
Yeah, I could have, but it's a little too tight.
I know. I see. I've been in your backyard. I know.
Well, hey, and speaking of the backyard, now this was across the street. So speaking of our backyard, Velva's going to have her flower tour the second weekend of June. They're going to come out and show it off.
Oh yeah, who's gonna do that? Who's gonna
The parade? What the heck do you call it? The not the parade of flowers, but the flower tour.
Oh okay. I thought there was a different name for it, but I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what it's called. She's the expert. I'm not.
Well, she should have called me, not you.
Probably.
Hey, I got a clue for you.
The only thing we have. Oh yes, sir.
Go down. You're not too far from Brosai Orchards. Go down by Brosai
Correct.
Orchards and look how they've pruned their trees, and that's your example. They do a
okay.
great job every year. You can see how tall they are, and they bear, you know, abundantly every year.
Okay, yeah, mine is still probably taller than theirs, so I'll have to go down and really check them out.
Yeah, check them out and see, because it's better to keep those big branches down so you can develop side branches that are going to be the bearing branches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, thank you, sir.
Well, thanks for the call, sir.
Okay, right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, that opens up both lines.
Yeah, well, if you have a call, I like questions, and sometimes they even answer them correctly. What the heck?
And the number, Mike.
Okay, 673-4464.
All righty.
And any question is fair game. You know, it doesn't matter.
Even a 40-foot cherry tree.
Yeah, even a 40-foot cherry tree. Can you imagine trying to crawl up there and get the cherries off a 40-foot cherry? No, you can't.
Oh.
You have to have a fire truck with an extension ladder to get up there.
Was it Abraham Lincoln that chop down the cherry tree, or is that Washington?
I think it was a plum tree.
Plum tree, okay.
No,
I thought it was a cherry. Well,
yeah,
so much for my American history.
No, it was a cherry tree. Just depends on what school you went to.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Roseburg or Sutherland.
Sutherland or Myrtle Creek.
Yeah, Myrtle Creek. Day's Creek. Anyway, this is not a comedy show, actually.
It's not.
Gardening show.
Oh, okay.
And we were being sarcastic.
Yes, we were.
Yes, I know.
No offense, I hope, was taken.
No, none whatsoever. Oh, you mean for the audience. Anyway, perennials. Those are those flowery shrubs that bloom a lot, look beautiful, act as fillers between the bigger shrubs that only bloom, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in the spring. And these perennials, they just bloom and they bloom and they bloom and they bloom. And then next, Thanksgiving, they finally die down to the ground, or they look kind of poor. And you think, oh, my gosh, they're dead. But no, they're not. They come roaring back the next spring.
Mm.
And they give your landscape lots of color and character. You know, some of them bloom in, like, very early spring, and they last for months. I mean, some of them will bloom, you know, if they're blooming now, they'll last for till the end of May even.
Wow.
And then some of them will rebloom. So then some of them even will bloom until late fall when the cold weather begins again. And they're a really good, most of them are very hardy. You know, the ones that we get around, and there's a difference between perennials and annuals. Annuals are like geraniums and things of that nature. petunias, you know, those kinds of things. They bloom. They do really well in the summer. They're fine. And when that cold weather hits, the petunias, they're pretty much dead meat. I mean, they just wilt. They can't handle it because of our climate here. Once in a while, a geranium will come back the second year or even the third year. I've had a couple do that, as experiments. But the perennials, they do it consistently year after year after year. And that's good. Perennials can last many years with little care. I mean, they can go 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, and they need very little care. In a very hot summer, with normal watering, they're going to continue to bloom. Normal watering means not every day for an hour. It means once a week, maybe, for, 15, 20 minutes maximum. Depends on what the heat level is. And, of course, if you do it early in the morning or late in the evening, the water goes down and doesn't evaporate into the sky and actually does the roots a good job. And the root system develops very, very well. And it's minimal, and they're just going to continue to bloom. They're great space fillers in between your regular shrubs. Let's say you have a backyard garden, and it has 10 rhododendrons in it, and they're all 7 or 8 feet apart, and there's spaces in between, and maybe there's spaces below from where the bark mulch in the lawn began or something like that. You might have 5 feet of space where, it's kind of barren in there. That's a good place to jam some perennials in there. And there are so many perennials. I've been doing research on perennials. I'm amazed at how many there are on this earth. Mm. There's virtually millions. I mean, different, maybe not a million different types, but it sure seems like
Yeah.
But they're good space fillers, and they're not going to rob the rhododendrons or whatever shrubs you might have in there. I just use that as an example. It could be mugo pines or juniper or what the heck. But they won't rob anything from a mature shrub that's been in there for a while. Their root systems are not that elaborate. They're pretty small for the most part. Most of them average between, say, 18 inches and 4 feet, possibly. And you want to keep them pruned. You want to keep them pruned each year after they're bloomed and they're done. Kind of keep them in bounds so that they look good, they look healthy, they look tight, and they just produce more flowers the very next year. And like I said, they're great space fillers. Let's say you have a border along your driveway, and maybe and that border, the pavement of the driveway or the concrete of the driveway ends, and then you've got 3 feet of space of bark mulch, and you put some annuals and petunias or something like that in there. Well, put some perennials in there instead and make a small hedge of them if you want them, close together, or just space them out so you can walk in between them without, jumping on them. Mm-hmm. And they really shine as borders along the driveways or the entryways. And when they stop blooming, just prune them. The pruning can take place to shape them up and reduce their size and get them ready for next year. And most grow fairly fast, and they can cover bare ground and help smother pesky weeds. And annuals are a nice color plant, but like I said, they only last one season, so you could put them in between your perennials. Your perennials, like I say, they're a semi-permanent shrub, if you will. And you can plant either the annuals and the perennials in the same plant bed, and they have the same care. They'll grow a little bit differently, but that's okay. And when the annuals quit blooming, the perennials keep on giving you color for a few more weeks or months. And then the annuals, when it gets real soggy, wet, and cold, the annuals are pretty much finished. Go ahead and pull them. But the perennials are still good to go. And a perennial plant can easily live for at least 3 years or and much more if you take care of them. While, like I say, the annuals are, a one-year deal, and that's it. And, and unless you live in a very mild winter kind of place, maybe like San Diego,
Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. Well, Phoenix might be too hot for him. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. They're in more of a desert.
Yeah. It stays a consistent 112 in Phoenix from about April to November. So do we have a break?
We do.
You got your hand on the trigger there.
Yeah. Did you want to finish your thought?
No, I don't have any thoughts. No. I'll start up in the next segment.
Let us have him gather his thoughts, and we'll be back.
Yes, I'm going to go out and gather.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back. Mike and I tripping down memory lane with German Shepherds.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, the lines are open and the number is
673-4464. Any question is fair game, whether it's about lawns, trees, shrubs, vegetables, it doesn't matter. I will give you an answer, and right now we're talking about perennials and color in your yard and adding that to your landscape and what it can do for your landscape and how easy they are to grow. There are some, stubborn little creepy ones out there that will take a little bit of care, so avoid them and just get the tougher ones, but I'm not talking about creepy perennials today.
Persons?
I'm talking about the good ones. And now, perennials, they can die down in a cold winter. You know, like this last winter, we've had the snow, blah, 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 and they can die down. But the root systems are still alive, and they're gathering nutrition and strength for the next spring. Whereas annuals, they're pretty much toast when that sunshine leaves and the snow comes. And when you're buying perennials, select the most hardy types. There are some that are hardier, obviously, than others. Usually there will be a plant tag in the container that will give you info on the size, the blooms, the color of the blooms, the hardiness of the plant. You know, don't just assume that a perennial is hardy for your local area. Do some research. Read the tags. If they don't have a tag, ask somebody who's there in charge if they're... if it's a good tough one or what. And in a plant that can grow, say, 3 feet tall and 3 feet wide is going to need some space to stretch. So if you are planning on buying some of these and filling blank spots, make sure that it has a space to stretch give it room so it's not cramped or it doesn't infringe on other plants. And, this is not going to work, for instance, in a high traffic area like a sidewalk or a driveway that's, and you plant real close to that. Then you're going to have a pain in the neck and you're going to have to be pruning and you're going to have to be doing this and people are going to step on them or a dog will run over the top of them, that kind of stuff. But if you have a mound out in your backyard, or a large, very wide planting bed, that's a great place for a perennial garden. Give it room. And when you buy perennials, make sure that you plant them in a location where they're going to do their best. In the sun, for many, there are types that like partial shade. But most of them are good sun type perennials.
Sun lovers,
yeah. But there's some that like a little partial shade in the afternoon, especially. Morning sun, afternoon shade is good for any plant. I don't care what it is. when it gets to be 100 at noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you get some shade from a nice shade tree on the plant, it's going to do much better. It's going to survive and it's going to look good and be there for the next year.
We all like air conditioning.
Yeah, we do. And plants do, too, because they're close to the ground and it's hotter down there. But always prep your
soil.
There's
a joke there, but I got to leave it alone.
Leave it alone. And always prep your soil with potting mix for a quick root development. In other words, just don't dig a hole, jam it in there, and put the yucky stuff back in there and stomp around on it with your foot to make sure you've got it in there securely, because that's your first step to a perennial death. And You know, so prep your soil. You know, the perennials, they come in smaller pots, most of them. You can get the, you know, the six packs or the small 4-inch pots, things like that. So prepping the soil is not that big of a deal. You can do it very quickly and easily, and you have some nice potting soil, bark mulch or sand or anything like that that is loose enough to where the root system can get out and establish itself, and they're going to do good for you. Now, if you don't have a yard to plant in, try some large containers for your patio, your deck, your front porch, whatever. And if it takes if you take care of them properly, they're going to be healthy and beautiful for years to come. I mean, that's all there is to it. My wife's got some perennials. Gosh, she's had them in pots for years. I mean, 15 years. And oh, she prunes them back every year. They're the half whiskey barrels.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're fairly good pots, but and there is like the main plant is in the center. It might be an azalea or something like that, and then she puts these little perennials around it. You know, maybe three of them in the pot around surrounding it, and some of them been in there for I know seven to 10 years.
Jeez.
Yeah, and you know, snip snip with the scissors and or you know, little pruning shears or something like that. A little bit of fertilizer and keep them watered, and they do very, very well.
Away they go.
Yeah, they don't even miss a beat. They just keep on planting. They go, whoa, thanks. I needed a haircut, man.
Keep on ticking or planting or whatever.
That's right. And I've said this a lot of times, too. Prior to planting or buying plants.
Give them a lot of water.
No. Don't listen to that guy. He just runs the board. draw a quick sketch of your yard to get a feel for how many to plant. You know, get some, you know, pace it out or measure it out with a long tape measure and say, okay, I got 20 feet of length and 4 feet of width here. And so I can get maybe 5 plants in there or 6 plants and stagger them in there. And that way you're not overplanting and they're going to do well. And they're not going to be in competition with one another for quite some time. So don't crowd them. And if after a year or two you still have some open spots, you can plant more. It's easy.
You know? Makes sense.
Yeah, you don't have to do it all in one day. You can if you are experienced and you know how the plants will grow and you've planted out somewhat, you'll have good success. And I do have a few favorites that do well and they bloom for many, many months. And some of them are ground cover types, and some of them are shrub types. But ajuga, another name for ajuga, is carpet bugle. And it's a ground cover type with purple-blue flowers. And they grow about 6 inches tall. The plant will grow about 6 inches tall. But it'll spread to about 3 feet wide easily.
Wow.
And they like shade in the afternoon and sun in the morning, and they're super hardy. And they'll come back after the snow. The snow can sit on them for a week, and it melts, and the sun finally comes out. And you think, oh, my gosh, the leaves look like somebody poured gasoline on them. You know, they're kind of brown and crispy, and you go, I don't think they're going to make it. Leave them alone. Because before you know it, as soon as it warms up to, you know, 50s and 60s, you'll start to see new leaves come, or the existing leaves will sometimes regreen and come back on their own. So,
like the old song says, don't give up.
Don't give up the ship, buddy. So, but ajuga is just a great little ground cover type perennial. And like I say, the purple blue flowers, And the plant itself grows about 6 feet tall, and it'll spread at least 3 feet wide. I've seen them spread more, and they like shade in the afternoon, sun in the morning, and they're very hardy, and that's the conditions in which they'll do the best. And if you like columbines, there are only 70 species to choose from.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, I was reading up on 70 varieties. Oh, my gosh. So, I don't know. Some will grow in the full sun and sun, and some of them like part shade. And but, you know, you gotta play with these things and try them out. And if you see something you like in a nursery or in one of the box stores, and they got plenty of color stuff out there, and a lot of them aren't for our area, but they have them anyway because they bring them straight out of California from a greenhouse.
China.
No, I don't think they bring them from China, but they do bring them from a greenhouse. And And they're, you know, they're in their prime. And you put them, if you would have put them out 2 weeks ago, most of them would have probably been dead.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The snow would not be a good thing for them because they came, they're used to that consistent warmth and sunshine in one area, even though it's been raining like all get out down there. But still, they're in a heat-controlled atmosphere with lights. You know, if it's a cloudy day, they still have lights within a greenhouse, so they have ample light. They have great soil and great heat and great water, so they're in their prime. They're just primo plants. Put them on a semi, come up to good old rainy, snowy, cold Oregon and put them out, and they go, whoa, what is this? I don't like this at all, you know?
Me no lake.
Yeah. But, you know, so you got to keep your eye on it. And one thing, too, when they first get to town, the perennials and the flowers and stuff like that first get to town, don't rush out and buy them then. Wait a couple weeks. See how they turn out after 2 weeks in southern Oregon weather. And then you'll see
the hardy ones.
The very hardy ones will still look very good. And the ones that weren't so hardy, they ain't going to look so good.
They're little pansies.
Yeah, they're a bunch of pansies.
Hey, before we go to break, I got a question for you.
Yes, yes.
Okay, a few weeks ago, the owners of my apartment tore up the backyard. I mean, there's for repairs and so on and so forth. Now, it's just dirt out there.
Okay.
Well, the other day I went out to do my laundry, and I saw growing by itself is a little green plant. I mean, it's circled, you know, it's around, and it looks like a lettuce head. You know, it's got, you know what that is?
No.
Wow.
I've
seen them before, but I thought, wow, that's weird that one little whatever it is growing out of that.
Well, there's 1 billion plants on the earth.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
And I only know a million of them.
Even if they look like lettuce?
It might be lettuce. You never know. After your landlord ripped up the yard, he thought, let's see what we can do if we plant some lettuce
seeds in here.
See what this guy does, huh?
All right. I'll give you a picture of it next week.
Okay. Identify it with a picture.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, we got to get ramped up. All right, we're back with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And what is our number, Mike?
Well, if you have a question about any of your landscape or garden, 673-4464, and we'll get you right on the air. You ask your question, and I will give you the correct answer. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Good, good, good.
And right now I've been talking, the main topic today has been perennials and how good they are, how tough they are. And, you know, I was just going to go through, I got a quick list of those that are some of my favorites. Favorite in that they're tough, they don't take a lot of care, they're pretty when they bloom, and they're not going to drive you up the wall. Excuse me. They're not going to drive you up the wall. They're just...
old things.
Yeah, they're just good old things, you know? And I think I left this in the last segment. I talked about the ajuga, the carpet bugle, as a ground cover.
Oh, plant. I thought you were talking about an insect.
No. I don't know an insect that's named that. But and I was looking through the research material that I was reading, and I looked at the columbines section, and I found out there were only 70 species to choose from.
Oh, that's right. We were amazed how many.
It blew me away. But
yeah.
I found out in doing further research that some of the things that I was looking at, there was some of them had over 500 species to choose from of the same type of plant.
Got to be one there for you.
And I'm thinking, how in the world does anybody classify? You know, these are plants are similar. What is the difference? Yeah, between that one and that one that would make it a different type?
A little stripe of color? Who knows?
Could be. But going on to my list of, you know, some of the things that I like that I know that work and that are, you know, beautiful and will be long-lasting and come back year after year. For instance, lilies. Lilies, you know, you see them at Easter time down at all the places, and they're the white mm-hmm. things and all that. And they'll do good in the house, but they're not usually something that will do out do real good in your yard because they're more or less an indoor lily. But there are outdoor lilies, and they're a very beautiful addition to any landscape. And as I was doing my research, it showed me 100 varieties of lilies.
Mamma mia.
Yeah, and I thought, how could there be 100 varieties of lilies? And mostly they're from the Northern Hemisphere, in other words, North America and Eurasia. And I'm thinking, geez Louise, man. But apparently they like cold weather,
yeah.
And they like snow and frost and rain and all that kind of stuff.
Mine doesn't.
Yeah, well, that's because you bought them at wherever, at your favorite box store.
Well.
But they're easy to grow, very easy to grow, lots of color. In fact, they were so easy to grow, I remember years ago we had old lilies in pots, and you just kind of throw them out there in the compost pile. And 2 weeks later, you look around and you see this thing coming out of your compost pile, and the thing rooted. You just throw it out on the compost pile and roots in and starts growing again.
Well, it likes all that stuff.
It does. It loves it. But like I say, they're easy to grow, and they're a lot of color, and they have one basic need. They need good drainage, and that was stressed in all the reading I did on the lilies, was they all have to have good drainage. They actually can be planted in heavy clay, but you have to make sure that heavy clay that they're planted in has good drainage. And I find that to be an oxymoron, actually, because good good old-fashioned clay is not good drainage, but that's what that's what the literature says. So I thought, okay. Well,
they got to know.
You know, just flip the coin there, you know. We'll see. But most lilies will not thrive in heavy clay soil, so raised beds are, you know, or planter boxes or big round pots are the simple answer. And they can live in there for years and years and years. And most do not most do not spread. They're not a spreader type. But you can divide the bulbs in the summer. You know, when they're done blooming and the bulbs die down and, mm-hmm. and leaves are starting to look a little iffy, you can dig up, you know, but you say you planted one bulb, you dig in there and you find three or four. So you can separate those and plant them in different places, leaving the main bulb, as it were, alone.
Okay.
And they're good. But it said you divide the bulbs in the summer, you know, and I'm thinking, why wouldn't the summer when it's, you know, 90 degrees
yeah,
or whatever the heck
yeah.
it is? But I would wait till fall when it was a little bit cooler. And, you know, then you can spread them around in your yard. And the flowers, you know, of course, they come in many shapes. Some are bell-shaped. You know, lily bell-shaped, yes. And some are star-shaped and some are trumpet-shaped. And I saw colored photos of each of these shapes, and they were very distinct and very beautiful in their own deal. And some are fragrant and some are not. Why that is, I have no clue. There was no explanation of that. But they make excellent cut flowers, and they can thrive in our zone quite well. I mean, most of the perennials that I was reading about and looking up, they were in zone 7 here. And most of them were zone 7, some were 6, 5, and 4. And zone 4, that's like cold country.
Oh, but oh, cold.
You know, the higher the number, the warmer the temperature, the milder the climate
is. Oh, okay. So we're kind of right in the middle?
Yeah, we're right in the middle. This is like the perfect place. I mean, look around you when you drive home. Everything's green and growing and going crazy. And you go, well, how come? Because it's perfect.
Nice.
Oh, gosh. But these guys also make, you know, beautiful cut flowers, so you can and then just cut them and put them in your vase, and they're good for a while, and they just thrive so well even after you've cut them. And now there are some of them that'll do well in full sun or half shade. Full sun being, say, from sunrise to noon, maybe, because the heat doesn't really start piling on till about 2 in the afternoon. So if they're in the shade by 2 in the afternoon, they're not getting burnt up. They're not getting scorched or, you know, it depends. And it depends on the type of perennial you're planting in there. You know, and these guys that come in so many colors and sizes and shapes, it's just an amazing thing. The other plant that does well in our area, poppies. Mm. Everywhere you look, you can find poppies, those little orange, yellow, orange things.
And They are all over.
Across the street, you got a gravel parking lot. I've seen poppies in there in the middle of summer.
Yeah. It's kind of like daffodils. They're all over.
Exactly. I mean, if you kill a poppy, you had to stomp on it and pour gas on it, you know? I mean, that's how you kill poppies. And you can be driving down any, you know, country road or even in a neighborhood that has, you know, some bare areas.
Cow pasture.
Yeah, and there's poppies.
Yep.
You know, whoa, so how do you kill a poppy? You can't. You really have to go after that. But, you know, like I say, growing wild along the roads, no care. And usually ours around here range from yellow to orange.
Orange, you know, I've seen a lot of orange.
Oh, yeah, and there's some yellow ones, and I've got yellow ones at my place. I don't know where they came from. I didn't plant them, and I don't think my wife did, but they're there.
Truck driving by.
No, I don't have trucks driving by.
I
live in a canyon on a little dirt road.
I was thinking about your. Never mind.
yeah, but you know they're a no care plant and
nice.
You know it's like I say, and there are 45 species of poppies.
Good heavens!
What? How can? How could
I thought there was orange, yellow, and whatever you
Well,
said.
There's obviously other colors.
Colors, colors.
Yeah, and but they don't. The species is not defined specifically by its color, but by its rate of growth, the size, the color of the flower, the numbers of flowers.
Interesting.
You know, there's a lot of factors that contribute to. You know, this one has 10 flowers. This one has 3. So they're two different types of poppies. You know. I don't know. I wasn't in the classification business way back in the 1800s, so I'm not sure.
Oh, Daniel Boone, you knew him, huh?
Yeah. But in some of these species, of course, some are just annuals, and some and they're somewhat deciduous, and then there's some that are evergreen, but they're short-lived. I guess when the inclement weather finally hits, say, November-ish, you know, they just kind of die down to the ground. You haven't lost them. And this time of year, you start looking around, especially more into April, and all of a sudden you can see them popping back up again. That's why they're poppies; they pop up again. That's a joke.
That's a joke, man. What our president would say.
But skipping that, most of the poppies have originated in the Himalayas, which very cold place, Burma and China. And one is native to Western Europe and will grow anywhere. And they come in a lot of colors. The blue, red, yellow, orange, white, and even a burgundy. I saw photos of all
nice.
Of these. Yeah. And I was impressed. I didn't know that they came in blue and red and orange and burgundy. I figured yellow, orange maybe, maybe white, but none of these other colors. But in all the years I've been in the nursery business, I haven't seen those colors either. But that's
I guess
okay.
You have to go to China.
Yeah, I could. And size-wise, depending on the variety, they range from about 18 inches, and that's the normal average size, about 18 inches, and three. But the giant one gets to be 8 feet tall.
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm not.
Almost forgot where I was at.
I know. You better be careful here. This is a family show. 8 feet tall, 3 feet wide. And I thought, and there was a photo of it, but it didn't show the height because all the photos were small. And it didn't show the height, but I thought, 8 feet tall. I read it 3 times to make sure I wasn't misreading.
And it was still standing?
It was still standing there. And I thought, Okay, the next one, the next easy one, perennial-wise.
Can we do that after the break?
If we have to.
Good cliffhanger.
Okay, cliffhanger.
All right. 4:49, let us pause for the cause. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. All kidding aside now, let's get back to business, Mike.
Okay, we're in a home stretch on perennials here. I won't even get all my notes done today, so I'll save some for next week.
Okay.
Daffodils. Bingo, daffodils. They can grow about anywhere. They grow out of gravel. They grow out of trees. They grow out of horse pastures with cows grazing and horses grazing around them. And, you know, and I've told the story about this place out there in Looking Glass. I've been by it. You know, it's one of my clients, several of my clients live in that area. And there's this old farmhouse, and they usually have all 10, 15 cows in this little pasture, maybe 2 acres pasture, and a couple of horses. And I swear the daffodils, I mean, there's hundreds of blooming daffodils in there most of the summer.
Wow.
And the animals don't eat them.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. So if you kill a daffodil, you had to do it with gasoline, kerosene, or a flamethrower. I mean, that's how good they are.
I had heard they're kind of poisonous.
They are poisonous. That's you don't want to eat a daffodil bulb. but you know, they're just good. I don't think the cows eat the daffodils either.
I don't think so.
Because it looks fuller each year. And, you know,
they don't want to die either.
No. But they're so prolific. And like I say, no care at all. You just plant the bulbs and transplant a bulb or whatever and let it go. And next thing you know, you got 10 of them.
And then the cows and horses take care of it.
Yeah, they don't do anything. They're okay.
Well, okay.
They make a great border planting or pots on the porch.
Bet.
They grow in sun. They grow in partial shade because this one pasture is just full sun from morning till night, and they prefer sun. And multiple blooms can be on a single plant. I mean, they have more than one bloom.
A hybrid.
Exactly. And when you get too many in a clump, you know, if you got them in your yard, you can divide them and spread them around during summer dormancy. They go dormant, in, you know, like August or something, and the leaves start looking bad and they're done blooming.
Mm-hmm.
You can dig up some of the bulbs and transfer them wherever you want to. It doesn't hurt them. You can't kill these suckers.
Well, how you would get rid of them? Burn them?
Maybe. Burn them or poison them to death. I'm not sure. But again, the bulbs are poisonous, and I don't know how you knew that, but so you don't want to mix them in your summer salad.
No.
You know, chop them up or feed them to somebody.
Unless you got somebody you didn't like. Come on over for a salad.
Yeah, I got a daffodil salad I'd like to serve you. But, and then everybody likes tulips. That's another good perennial, and there are 100 species of tulips to choose from. And they came over from Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. They're very hardy, and they like the sun, but they can do well in light shade as well. And tulips are another tough thing. When you see them growing in somebody's yard, they require very little care. I mean, if you water them once in a while in the summer, great, they do good. But of course, all this stuff has to be planted in well-drained soil. You gotta manufacture some good soil because that's when they'll do the best.
And they come in all
colors. Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah.
Mom had a lot of red ones, I think.
Oh gosh, yes. And the flowers are cup-shaped on long stems for easy picking. And you know, you want to do a vase, a bouquet for the supper table, you can. And the colors seem to be unlimited. I mean, there are solid colors or multicolored ones with, you know, 2-3 colors in the same flower. Very attractive. And you want to plant the bulbs in the fall, you know, about 6-7 inches deep. And when you have a bunch growing in the same spot, you can separate them when the foliage dies down. So they're very prolific in that way.
Nice.
You know, if you bought 10 and put them in a bed, you'd never have to buy another one ever again simply because of their multiplication factor there.
Mm.
And you can spread them around. And the more you spread them around, the better they get, the more you have. And it's very, very colorful.
Comes to the reason why Dad was always trying to mow them down.
Yeah, your dad didn't like them, huh?
Poor mom. She couldn't have anything nice.
But last on my short list today, of course, are geraniums. And they're everywhere, and they're for sale. You know, they're the one of the premium spring plants. And, you know, they're like in every box store, supermarket, or gas station, you know. I mean, but you're looking at lots of color, and there's too many to mention. You know, all 300 species.
Oh, my.
300 species of geraniums. You know, it'd take me 2 months to go through a list of 300.
And then some.
Yeah. But they're a worldwide flower. They're everywhere. They can and they're easy to grow, and they're very long-lived. I've had them winter over in some places, but most of them kind of die down. And when they die down in the winter, folks think they're dead, so they'll dig them out of the ground and say, well, I'll plant new ones next year. Well, there was one at Banner Bank in Winston that I planted a few years ago, and it was a tricolor leaf. It had three shades of green in the leaf, very attractive. One was really light green, almost white, and then was a medium green, then it was a dark green. All three colors were in the leaves, and had an orange, hot orange bloom. And so I planted it there just to, you know, there was a space, and I wanted to look at it.
Sure.
Because I go to that bank.
Sure.
Winter came along, and I looked at it, and all the stems were mushed up and dead and just laying there, and I thought, oh, well, I'll get another one in the spring and put it in there. Well, the next spring, I went back, and I looked at it, and there's all these new stems coming out of the ground. And it came up, and it was twice the size the next year as it was when I planted it, and bloomed and beautiful. It was gorgeous. So I knew some of them are perennial, but not all of them. I wouldn't count on it, but you can do your own experimentation on that.
You think it's still there?
I looked at for it the other day. I think one of the guys on the crew might have dug it up because he thought it was dead.
Oh, shame on him.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to dig him up.
Any wisdom before we say goodbye?
Don't let the rain get you down, and look for the sun, and enjoy the spring, and get your questions ready for next week, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
All right. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
The Afternoon Report is coming up on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.